I'm Jeremy Meeks.
I'm David Helm.
And this is Preacher's Talk, a podcast for preachers and those who love preaching. Preacher's Talk is brought to you by Simeon Trust and Nine Marks. Dave, why?
Because Simeon Trust trains people to handle the Bible better, and Nine Marks provides resources for healthy churches.
That was pretty good.
Wow. That was very good.
Yeah. You can find more about both those organizations at ninemarks.org and simeontrust.org. And that other voice you heard is Michael Lawrence. Hello,
yes.
Michael Lawrence.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
You heard Michael Lawrence on our episode on biblical quotations and allusions when it came to connecting to the gospel. But today...
That was a year ago.
Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back to Chicago.
Thanks.
Making a contribution this week in the Chicago Course on Preaching.
Finished up. Love it.
Your son is here this year.
My son is here this year.
That's exciting.
I walked in on one of his lectures.
Yeah.
Guess what he was talking about? Church discipline.
Of course he was.
I was like, here
the
we go,
church
baby.
As the natural arena for discipling.
Ecclesiology.
Yes. See, are we doing ecclesiology today?
No, we're not. We're doing something not related to that at all, but we are going to do something about application. Real quick question right off the top. Dave, what is application?
Oh, my. All right. Application is the meaningful ways in which the force of my text or the argument of my sermon fall rightly upon my hearers.
Mm, that sounds good.
Is that, I mean.
Sure.
I'm thinking of it in those ways
right
now.
Yeah, great. Michael, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you're thinking of application?
Yeah, I'm thinking about the argument that I'm making.
Yeah.
Based on the argument that the author of my text was making. But now I'm asking the question, why do they need to hear this? Why do my people today need to hear this argument? Why do they need to hear it the way it's being made? Maybe I've got two or three points. Like, why does anybody need to hear this point or that point that's sitting out there in front of me?
That's good.
And it's a little distinct, isn't it, Jeremy, from the rhetorical end of simply persuasion?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It seems to me that in preaching, we move beyond, I'm just trying to persuade you of the argument.
Right.
Application seems to be derivatives of the argument.
That's right.
In the lives of the listener.
Yeah. I do think that there is a certain aspect of application that we tend to either discount or don't do, which is very much like in keeping with the definition, just dictionary definition of what application is, putting something in contact with something else.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that kind of idea of connecting.
That's good.
That is good.
Right? That's really good.
It's really good. So, and because I think it's important because I think that we kind of blow that off and just tell people what to do and we haven't actually made contact with their lives with the text, which is all we're really trying to do. But we're not just trying to persuade
them. So application
them.
Is the stain on hardwood.
Yeah, okay.
Or into hardwood, right?
Yes.
We're praying for softwood, actually. Exactly. I want the stain to go deep.
That's right. Oh, that's good.
Deep.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Clearly, soft wood. Clearly, we are not woodworkers. So the idea is that we're bringing this into contact with people's lives. We're trying to give them something to do, but we're not just trying to persuade them. We're not just trying to win an argument and have them walk away and go, oh, shucks, I guess he's right.
Right.
But to be like, okay, now what am I supposed to do with this? Why should I care? How am I supposed to live? It sounds like there's a lot of that. Is this, Michael, is this just for believers?
No, actually, I think I want to be thinking about application for everybody that's sitting out there on any given Sunday. And I've got a lot of non-believers sitting there. I've got kids and youth who have not yet professed faith.
Yep.
I've got the non-Christian spouses of members that are attending regularly. And then I have non-Christian friends that have been invited. And we've just got people walking in off the street.
Yeah.
So I want to think about them as well. Why do they need to hear this?
Beautiful.
Right. So here's the thing. What is, for you, Dave, so difficult about application? It sounds like it's this big, broad thing. We're talking about believers and unbelievers, young, old, you know, new to the church, been around forever. So what is, for you, particularly challenging when it comes to application?
Well, how deep I determine to reach into specificity.
Okay.
So do I sit there in my study with my eyes closed and think through, 18 different people in my congregation, or do I just generally allow the argument to and the spirit to apply it to people? So sometimes I do more of one than the other. And so probably sometimes you could hear me and go, I'm not quite sure what I'm supposed to do with that. He didn't cross the T's and dot the I's for me. But then sometimes I guess the difficulty for me is if you cross all the T's and dot all the I's on application, then you almost reduce what you determine this argument is going to do for people.
Right.
So I guess the difficulty is wisdom, discernment, how hard to press in, how specifically I press in.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Michael, what's your big challenges when it comes to application?
I think one of the biggest challenges I face is remembering that not everybody is like me or the people that I'm closest to.
Yeah.
You know, so as I'm in the
You actually need help remembering that,
I
Michael?
Do. No, I do.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
All week I'm in the text. I'm just letting it plow my own heart. So there are all sorts of applications that come ready to mind because the text has already affected me.
Right.
Or I've thought about the way it's affecting those closest to me.
Yeah.
But the reality is, and I've told this story before, like, for example, I deal with a lot of sins mm-hmm. and a lot of failings. Anxiety isn't one of them.
Okay.
There's a lot in scripture, though, that speaks to the anxious heart.
Right.
I often just, I forget. Like, I miss it. Because that's just not one of the things that that's not where I live, right?
Yeah.
So I constantly have to have some disciplines in my life to force me outside of my bubble and the bubble of people closest to me.
So what do you do? To do that?
I do several things. Sometimes I do what David just said. I'll like pull out my church directory and I'll just open it up to a random page and force myself to answer the question, why does Sally need to hear this point? Because Sally's not like me.
Yeah.
So why would Sally need to hear this? Why would Tim need to hear this? Mm. And force myself to think it through. It doesn't mean actually that the application will make it in the sermon.
Right.
But it does force my mind to go out broader.
Okay. So here's a question. When it gets to this idea of the application is in your mind, but might not be in your sermon. Dave, how much of your application is written down and thought out, however many T's you got to cross and I's you got to dot, versus just in the moment, like things that just kind of come?
So in direct answer to your question, it's probably more extemporaneous or not thought through in regard to the audience or the various kinds of people that are listening to me. So while Michael rightly is thinking about the particular individuals, and I would probably do well to do more of that, I usually get to application through the categories of the exegetical process. So biblical context mm-hmm. all of a sudden becomes a window for relevance on today's audience or the characters and the way people are responding in the text I'm preaching, they become not foils in an inauthentic way, but how are we to be rightly responded to the Lord's anointed in this text? So for me, the exegetical process, the theological reflection usually become the avenues through which I begin to try to drive application as opposed to a separate process of all the individuals.
But okay. And then what do you actually have written down in your notes when you're getting up there? are you writing down like broad category or just like apply here? Or are you writing?
I'm writing the, that's what I sometimes apply.
Okay.
Apply here.
All right. Michael, what are you doing?
It's actually not that dissimilar.
Okay.
So by the end of Thursday, which is my study day, I will probably have 3 or 4, even 5 potential application points for every point in my sermon.
Yeah.
And it will be context. It will be the exegetical work itself that's led me to those particular applications. The next day, it's time to write the manuscript. I'll select 1 or 2 from each of those. But then Sunday morning, when I've gotten up early and I'm reading over the manuscript again and just praying, that's where the applications come that people remember.
Yeah.
And those are typically just a couple of scribbled words in the margin. Because those are generally the points where I'm going to like sit down in the sermon.
Yeah.
Right.
And really press.
Yeah.
And it's that extended meditation on the text, both in study, but also just in prayer, that kind of gets me to that point on Sunday.
Yeah.
And then every now and then something really surprises me in the act of preaching itself.
Right.
Right.
Preaching is in the preaching.
Preaching is in the preaching.
But I think your question's interesting. I'd love to hear from you on this because maybe put it differently. What are the advantages of writing down particular applications with greater specificity?
Yeah. So I think that, what I'm doing the kind of broad level as well. I think that similar to you, Michael, I've thought through kind of individuals mm-hmm. who are kind of synecdoches for kind of groups of people.
That's right.
Right.
That's
but I have an easier time by thinking about a person. So I'm kind of just scribbling in the margins, but then I write kind of a broad thing and try to do essentially prayerful crowd exegesis in the moment. Who is here?
Yeah, that's
what's going on. But what I write down are the really clean lines that either get me into the application or out of the application that kind of put the cherry on top or open the door and go, now here's where we're going in. because sometimes you just kind of fumble your way into application. Right. Let me make this real personal for a second, which you just said, this has been impersonal the entire time. I've just been lecturing up until this moment. Now it could, so I'm trying to say, like, I've actually thought about you and I'm getting into this right now, but I like keeping it open because if I write too much, then I feel constrained by that. And like you were talking about dotting the I's and crossing the T's. If you say like, now there's three things to take away from this. You've reduced it to just three. And people are like, well, I'm thinking of like 4, 5, and 6. Yeah. What about those things? Yeah. Do those not fit? So by keeping it broad, it can be more personal in the moment.
Which is why one of my favorite ways of going after application is to actually just ask questions.
Yes, 100%.
It kind of speaks to your point about, oh, if I make it too specific, you know, I lose these. So oftentimes I'm thinking about application as thought-provoking questions that I can leave with them that people will take away, knowing that it's going to go in lots of different directions.
And those are actually best written out a lot of times.
Often.
Because it's very hard to write good questions.
A really good question on the fly.
That are thought-provoking. You know, Michael, you said something. You said that you kind of scribble in the margin something so you can sit down. So my question for you is, do you have to preach 55 minutes in order to do application in a sermon?
No. And if you've been here, the Chicago course this week, you would know that I preached a 25-minute sermon that was chock full of application to the specific people in front of me.
I think if we set that out there, it would go viral.
Yeah, right. Everybody would be like, this is the best sermon he's ever preached.
Can I bring something in that maybe hasn't come yet? Lately, I've been thinking through application on the church lines rather than the individual lines.
Yes.
The we lines, not the me lines.
That's right.
The us, not you. And I guess I wouldn't want to get that lost. I think sometimes we would be helped in our application to speak directly, not to particular kinds of people that are listening to us, but to us as a church.
Yeah. Yes.
That this is God's word for us this week. And what will that mean for us?
Yep. I think oftentimes some of the most helpful applications are where it bounces between the two. So if you're talking about the individual, then you move to how we as a church talk about this. Or if it's church, it's like, now you might be, and then you get individual because you've talked about this broad application of the church. And then like, how are you, might be responding to this idea? And so it's kind of that idea. And if you're an unbeliever, like maybe this thing. So I think that we need to do more work with application instead of just thinking like, what is this application? Plural, what is this application? Singular, what is application? Believer, like try to say like, here's the application. This is like the universe of application. Now, how does it work for the church and individual, believer, unbeliever? And I might not bring all those things up. In fact, it would feel tedious if I did. But I've at least thought through like, okay, there's this thing that's driving towards the main point arising from the text that I can kind of, we talk about this a lot with like the Chrysostom and Augustine sermons, where it's like they're taking a jewel and holding it in front of their congregation and just turning it.
Turning it. That's right.
Beautiful. Now, the whole sermon is that thing. And it's kind of reductionistic because it's just one verse and it gets really doctrinal and isn't exactly what Paul or Jesus is talking about. But they're kind of turning it. But that's a great way of thinking about application, of saying, here's this thing. Now, here's what this might mean for this person or this thing or that other thing. And really kind of bring it home, not just for individuals, but for the church.
And one of the cash values of doing that, because I always try to think of at least one application for each sermon for the church as a whole. And it's helpful for me to do that in advance. I may or may not do it. But I think one of the cash values of including the corporate is simply by doing that, we are teaching our church that you are not essentially a bunch of individual consumers of the religious services offered here. Right?
Yeah.
But we have a corporate identity. And it's not just my job to think about that corporate identity as a church.
Right.
It's our job to think about it.
And so much of the material we're preaching from, and therefore the arguments that are being made in the text, are in the world of local churches.
That's right.
They're people of God.
Yep.
You know, a long time ago, I think it was David Jackman who first taught me a line that basically said, application is it a derivative of the text or the context? And I kind of ran on that for a long time, trying to make my applications a derivative of the text. But I actually like what you guys have been mentioning, that application is a derivative, or the applying, the saturating in of the argument.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I'm not just talking about different things from the text. It's the argument I'm making from the text. That's what application has to be connected to.
And why is that so important?
Well, otherwise you're just applying, and who knows what reasons you're going to ask people to do certain things.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, go home, read the Bible more, pray more, whatever your thing is, whatever your pietistic bent or your visionary bent.
right?
Or you're, you know, we're in this moment, you got to do this kind of people bent.
Yep.
It's got to be tied to the argument.
Because at the end of the day, I don't want the power of the application to flow from like, oh, how clever I am or my pastoral insight.
Right.
I want the text driving the application.
Yes.
And therefore, it needs to be coming right in line with the argument that's being made.
Right.
And then the weight of the text is behind it.
Yeah, because you could say, because somebody could be listening to this and going like, well, yeah, it's from the text. Mm-hmm. But so often what it sounds like to hearers of our sermons is, now let me take a brief aside here for a moment, because I just ran into the word love.
Yeah, there's this little note here that I'm going to pick up. Yeah.
And then we go, okay, now back to the text. And you're just like, okay.
And something about someone in this congregation ticked me off this week. Right. And I'm going to sit on love.
That's right. Yeah. So the application should feel like it's helping drive the sermon forward, not like a little brief aside and then back to the real important thing of explaining the text, which is why it's so key to have something it either derives from or drives toward the argument.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, then you talk about get out of the way of the text.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes we need to get out of the way of the application.
Yeah.
because, okay, I'm an exhorter by nature. I grew up in a locker room.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, all applications can be in line with my personal disposition.
Yeah.
Right.
We do ourselves in our applications. And so, you know, you got to get out of the way of that.
Okay, so that's interesting, because this is where I was going. So what are the kind of temptations or pitfalls we need to avoid? So you're saying get out of the way.
Yeah, don't do you.
Don't do you.
Or be careful that you're going to have tendencies.
Right, okay. Yeah. What's another temptation? Like maybe you're particularly prone to when you're thinking about application.
Well, I think it's very easy to just get stuck on your hobby horses, right?
Yeah.
And to kind of come back to the same sort of application over and over and over again. You need to be aware of that.
Right.
For sure.
And that's one place, again, that the argument will help us.
That's right.
Right? Because even though I love talking about love, and it's talking about love here, the word love is here. That's not actually what I'm arguing for.
I might love to talk about church membership, but this week it's just not in the argument.
Well, you'll still figure out a way.
I might.
and I think a lot of evangelical preachers, you know, we all have lenses, right?
Yeah,
that's
and
right.
One of the dominant lenses is just grace. So my text, us bad, Jesus great, your application, go home grateful.
Yeah.
And so we kind of lay off of, or some of us can have a tendency to lay off of moral imperatives.
That's right.
Some of us aren't challenging our people. We just want to put our arms around them.
That's right.
These are all temptations.
Yeah. Or the temptation to, like we mentioned it earlier, but I think there's a huge temptation, is to maybe not cross every T and dot every I, but give very specific application and like a number of them. I have three things or four things, because we're trying to think like rightly, I want to be helpful, but we don't often think this can actually become reductionistic and actually unhelpful, because my people are leaving going, I just need to check three boxes this
mm-hmm.
week.
Mm-hmm.
So we can get so particular that it becomes, you know, sometimes unhelpful.
But see, this is where on the other side, I'm working with a preacher right now who is characteristically way too just vague, general, and abstract in his applications.
You working with me?
No. Happy to come over and help.
Yeah.
No. And, you know, so I've been pressing him to make the applications more concrete, not in order to shut down other possibilities.
Yeah.
But to actually help us understand what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Right.
Helpful.
You know, so, okay, you want us to love one another.
Right.
Great. If you leave it there, I'm just sort of left floating in the ether.
Yeah.
Give me some examples.
Yes.
Make it clear that these aren't the only ways.
Exactly.
But like, make love one another come alive for me for a moment, and then use that to help me grow from those examples to other places that I can do that in my own life.
Very helpful.
And this is one place where like illustrations can be helpful.
Oh yeah.
Right? Either from personal life or somebody's testimony in a congregation or something to kind of illustrate what this thing looks like.
Yeah.
Not just do this, don't do this.
Right. Right.
It becomes kind of this broader thing of, again, bringing into contact with people's lives to go, oh, okay.
And in that sense, I think often applications, when they're well done, become part of the adornment of the sermon.
Right. What does that mean?
Well, they work in ways that are similar to illustrations or well-crafted quotes. They make the point that you're making come alive in people's minds so that they really understand it and see it better.
So applications should actually, if it is part of like in keeping with the adornment stuff, it should actually make the sermon more pleasing.
Absolutely.
Right? Not in the sense of like tickling people's ears, but like, oh, I'm understanding you better. I'm taking this away more. It's like it's burdening in a right way my conscience more, either because of the grace, the exhortation of the text.
Yeah.
This is something that makes it easier for me to grasp what's going on.
And for guys like me, I'll say that I'm more likely probably to preach what I think are the implications of the text or argument. And I'm short on the particular applications of the text. That's probably something that would be helpful to many guys that are wrestling to preach every week.
Yeah.
We need to do a little more than simply our assumed implications of the argument I've made.
Yeah.
We got to drive it home. We got to put stain into the wood.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, it's a good analogy.
Yeah. So I'm thinking of the guy, young guy going, oof, this sounds important. The older guy who's been doing this for a while who goes, man, I need to work on this.
Yeah.
So in closing, how do I, as a preacher, grow in my ability to apply? Michael?
Well, I think you do have to give time to it.
Yeah.
If in your prep, all of your prep time is given to just the exegesis of it, and you're not creating space to actually think about application, it shouldn't surprise you that your application isn't that good because you're just not giving time to it. One of the things that's really helped me in application over the years is I have a habit with my staff and elders to read through the text that I'm going to be preaching at our staff meeting, at our elders meeting, and then we pray through it. It is really helpful for me to hear how others are praying for the congregation in light of the text that I'm reading. Again, it gets me outside of myself.
Yeah.
As I listen to other elders, other staff, meditate on the text and pray for our sheep in light of the text. That's been super helpful for me over the years.
That's good. And this is very helpful because according to what you seem to be saying, you're not waiting to think about application until you're all the way done with your work.
Yeah,
you're thinking about it all the way along.
Yeah, it's kind of just part of the week-long meditation on the text.
Right. I'm very similar. I will scribble down every single application that comes to mind. It could be very broad or very narrow. Most of them won't go in, but I'm thinking about it, which is helpful to me because now I'm thinking about the congregation I'm preaching to and the people in that congregation as I'm doing the exegesis, and therefore destroying that weird divide that we sometimes have between like exegesis and the actual preaching.
Yeah, that's right.
Dave, how do I grow my application?
Well, thinking of what would probably help me the most is write in like all caps across the front of every page of my sermon as I'm preparing it. So what?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. There you go.
So what? I might work really hard at crafting the cogency of the argument.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing how the first movement relates to the second, and I can carry you through that. But that doesn't mean that I've actually considered so what.
Yeah.
And I think the more we do that, the better we'll be.
Yeah. Amen. Well, would God help us to put into application in our preaching.
I liked your stain thing, like the apply thing.
Yeah. I mean, that was yours, but I'll
Oh, yeah. There we go.